everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Family Gamers Podcast.
This is episode 81.
Yeah.
And 81 is awesome because it's an odd number, which means we have a guest.
We have two guests this week,
yes. Which is super extra special. We have on the line with us Chris Leader from Calliope Games and Ken Franklin, who is the creator of a game that's currently on Kickstarter, The Mansky Caper. How are you guys doing?
Great.
I am blessed beyond my ability to calculate.
I like that answer.
Good answer.
So, you know, we were at the Calliope Games booth at PAX Unplugged, and we didn't actually catch the Mansky Caper there, but over the course of the weekend, I saw some stuff starting to leak out that the game was coming, and then some press releases came, and I immediately reached out to you, Chris, and said, all right, we got to talk about this game, because this game looks absolutely fantastic. It's a really cool game with a lot of kind of unique features to it from like a physical perspective. So Ken, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about the Mansky Caper and what's going on in the game?
Well, thank you. First of all, for your kind words. The Mansky Caper is set in 1925, and everybody is really irritated by the richest mobster in the country, Big Al Mansky. Fortunately, Al is out of town, and so you and your fellow players are going to team up and ransack his mansion of all its goodies.
Okay.
And although you're working together, you really deserve a little bit more than the other players. The person who gets the most is going to be the new head of the family. So you're working together to help yourself. But the other thing is, Al doesn't trust any other human beings, so his security system is based entirely on TNT. So you want to make sure that you don't explode while you're finding all this stuff. Explosions will happen, and the game goes until the mansion is destroyed. But the final aspect is, you've all known each other for quite a long time, and you all have your own specialties, but it's tacky to use your own specialty to help yourself. So you all owe each other favors, and the only way to use somebody's power is to call in a favor to them, and then they must use their power to help you. When that happens, they have two favors, and you have none. So you're looking for any opportunity to help somebody else and gain those precious favor markers back.
Neat.
That's the whole game. So it's an offer you can't defuse.
I think I wrote that actually on my notes to make sure that we drop that line. I like it. The first thing that I noticed when all the press started coming out was how animated and engaged you were with the theme of this game, and I think it's fantastic. And so props to you for that, because I love it.
Well, this is certainly a game that lends itself to larger-than-life characters, because there's just all kinds of craziness that's going on in the game. So we had to have, you know, big, larger-than-life characters. We had to have lots of personality and make sure that the entire aesthetic of the game kind of really was just this fun heist motif.
So I have a question about that. So do you find in your playtesting of the Mansky Caper that there ends up being sort of social engineering going on to try to convince players to use other people's favors, or are you just kind of hoping that it happens?
Oh, that's
rich with that.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's the DNA of this game is in the interactions between the players as you play. So when you're playing and someone reaches into one of these little 3D safes that's in the game and pulls out a token and there's something that's going to happen, you immediately have everyone at the table sit up straighter and lean in and go, hey, wait, before you go any further, you know, you could pay me a favor. I could make that all go away. And then somebody else will say, no, pay me a favor and I can double the amount of good stuff you're going to get. And so you get this great, every time you pull something and someone's eyes light up because they see, my favor ability could really come in handy here. Then they're campaigning to get everybody else to, you know, throw me a favor token, because, and this is the best part, two players might work together to hurt the player whose turn it is when it's not even their turn. They may say, oh, this guy's going to pull this thing and get all these gems. Hey, I'm going to pay this guy it's not even his turn. I'm going to pay him a favor to mess up that guy's turn.
Wow.
So you get a lot. Yeah, everyone's paying attention to what's going on in the mansion at all times, because, you know, even if it's not your room, because those abilities can really do some fun stuff, and there's a lot of great interaction.
So episode 80 of the podcast was a conversation all around what makes a game fun. And yeah. Some of the things that we talked about were this interplay between the players and keeping players engaged.
Everybody's
on
engaged
everyone's
on
turn.
Every turn. Yep.
And I mean, gosh, it sounds like the Mansky Caper is an awful lot of fun.
I think
like to think so.
Yeah, I think we've learned that through many play tests at conventions and parties and get-togethers where people end up just laughing. And if you're with Ken playing, people end up wearing fedoras and boas and 1920s outfits more often than not. And also, and this is a part that people don't realize, you're gonna start using a mobster accent whether you like it or not in this game. You may start the game going, I think I'm going to pick up this safe. But by the end, you're like, hey, I got to go ahead and do this and blow up this room. I guarantee you that's going to happen over the course of the game.
Yeah, I generally tend towards the kind of thick, no-necked Italian thug. That's my preferred mobster accent.
Wait, watch out. You don't get blown up.
Exactly. That's me, right? That's exactly how I sound.
That's you.
So... You
well,
mentioned...
I don't care what kind of accent you people use. Get out of my house. I want it to stay intact.
You mentioned something interesting, which was these safes that people are reaching into. And I don't think it's a new thing that, you know, there's sort of stuff that, you know, you punch some cardboard and you build different things. I mean, gosh, that was half the fun of opening up Colt Express was building all those little, you know, the train wagons and all that stuff.
Bits, yeah.
But you went a slightly different direction with the Mansky Caper.
Yeah, well, Calliope, we've long had this belief that people want to be able to open the box and play. You know, that's why when we did Hive Mind, we made sure that the pencils were sharpened, and we make sure that, you know, the when you open that box, the presentation and the readiness to play are there. So with the Mansky Caper, we want people to get to the heist as quickly as possible. So you won't have to fold up the safes and tuck them in and, you know, do all that stuff. The safes are pre-assembled and pre-built and sitting in nice little cozy, you know, their little section of the box. And all of this game has just a whole lot of stuff. There's 144 coins, you know, punchboard coins, and there's markers and tokens, and all of that is pre-punched and it's pre-placed into specific places where it will belong in the box before you ever open the box. So, there's something to be said for the Colt Express thing where you're building the thing. It's like a puzzle and you do that, but
Andrew likes the building. I like to open the box and play right away. you're speaking my language.
I'm the Lego guy, you know?
Now, there's no one who says you can't disassemble these things and rebuild them if you really, really wanted to. But we want people to be able to play right out of the box.
Well, and there's one other thing. If you'll notice in the Kickstarter, if you really have to assemble something, we do have an option to scratch that itch.
That is true.
Calliope managed a wonderful deal with a broken token, and I designed a wooden safe out of 1/8 inch fiberboard that is the exact same dimensions and the same decorations as the cardboard safes. And if you add an additional $15 onto the pledge, you get 5 of these safes in punch-out sheets that you can then assemble with white glue, and they're ready in 15 minutes. And then you have these hinge top wooden safes to replace the cardboard ones.
Oh, nice.
So no lie, that was my next bullet point. yeah, I mean, it's really like, it's kind of exciting to have stretch goals on campaigns and stuff like that. But, you know, to be right up front and say, listen, we physically cannot put any more stuff in this box. But if you really want something, this is something that we can do for you.
We can upgrade some of your components.
I think that's awesome.
Yeah. Well, we had a long conversation before this thing kicked off, and we said, look, we can price this thing out with the factory having, you know, punchboard gems and having, you know, less characters and having safes that are, you know, flimsy tuck boxes or something like that. And then we could see, you know, what we can do gradually. But the fact of the matter is the Mansky Caper and Ken's work with it, I mean, it's gone back quite a ways. You know, Ray Weirs, who's our company president, he loved the game from the minute he, you know, saw it the first time years and years and years ago. And he's been wanting to make this game. But When it finally came to the point where we're going to have this thing unleashed upon the world, we didn't want to say, here's a basic, you know, cheap version, and you could make it something better. We said, if we're going to bring this thing out, we're going to bring it out with all the bells and whistles that we can fit into the box and keep it at a $40 price point when it hits retail, because that's what we're all about too, is affordability. You know, we want families to be able to get a game they can play over and over and over again, and it'll cost less than it would to take a whole family to go to see a movie. You know, so if you can buy the Mansky Caper for $40 and get all of these plastic gems and these 3D safes and all of these tokens and things, and it feels really cool to have that. And we just didn't want to go that incremental route of, you know, you'll upgrade this and then the thickness gets better and then you're going from punch board to plastic. And we said, let's just put our best foot forward and go from there. And it's, we heard both sides of the argument. Some people said, well, you're never going to be able to keep people interested because, you know, the stretch goals are what keep people coming back. But, you know, we also got a lot of praise from people saying, I really appreciate you saying this is the game that you're going to get when all is said and done.
Yeah, well, that strategy definitely seems to have worked for you. We're about halfway through the Kickstarter right now, and you've fully funded and are just continuing to add more.
We keep getting more associates to the more associates to join in the caper all the time.
Can you just narrate our show for us? That would just be a lot more fun.
Listen, the family gamers. It's what
don't
you want to hear about.
Him.
Come
don't
on.
Encourage him.
we'll connect afterwards on that one. I like it.
There we go.
So, talking about the Kickstarter. First of all, I would say to anyone who's listening to the show, Kickstarter ends at the end of next week when the show is published. So it is something that you probably want to get around to looking at sooner rather than later. And Chris, you mentioned that the Mansky Caper is designed to hit $40 at retail. And if you get it on the Kickstarter, it's shipping included inside the United States, and it's only $32. So a little bit of a discount there for all of that stuff. That's pretty, pretty nuts.
Yeah, we call that the introductory offer. So basically, we want to get the game onto people's shelves. The thing is, it's a $40 game. You know, we're priced out, so we're really, you know, we're skating on a really thin margin to bring it down any lower than it already is at $40. But we said we just want to get this game out to people and get them playing it. So that was an interesting conversation when it was, well, it's $40. We've been saying that all along. We can't cut anything. And then when Ray said, let's try it at 32. And we were like, what?
Well, you know, if the boss says it, you know, you got to figure it out, right?
It was like quickly, put it into the page and hit go before he changes his mind.
So, I mean, I'll also add that if people are interested in checking out the Kickstarter, to scroll down because, Ken, you've got almost 60 years of history in designing games now. and a rich history that is. So,
at age five, it was a matter of scrawling on pieces of notebook paper. My parents gave me a 52 game chest, one of these, you know, big cardboard boxes that had lots of trivial little games in them. But to me, it was it was like Long John Silver's treasure, and I started collecting from there. And in first or second grade, I started creating games on paper.
That sounds right.
When I was in junior high and high school, I was pretty good at math and getting very bored. So the teachers would let me, when I was bored, have free rein in the construction paper closet. And I would make cardboard versions of TV game shows. And every couple of weeks, we'd spend class playing them.
That's pretty awesome.
So, Gaming has been around my DNA for a great deal of time, and six and a half years ago, when I went to Gen Con and helped my son Matt sell some art in Artist Alley, I took the initial prototype for Mansky Caper around in 16 cards and some poker chips in a plastic bag. And I had no idea what the game industry was like, but I went around to different booths and said, "Have one look at my game." And thank God, Jordan Weissman and Ray Wares didn't kick me out. Instead, they sat down and demoed it with me on Sunday and signed me. And it's been quite a ride since.
So
well, that's awesome.
I know we have families who listen to our show and kids who listen to our show. And so if you're a kid in first or second grade, it might take 60 years, but you could get your games published. So get working.
Pretty much.
Yeah, I think usually it'll be easier than that, because now all we have these wonderful things called podcasts that teach you the process instead of me going in cold.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked to a lot of designers and they have repeatedly told us there are so many resources out there. If you're interested in designing games, first of all, just start designing, but then pull in all the content that you can to help you get better.
Absolutely.
Yep, absolutely.
And I'd like to touch on something real quick based on what Ken just said. So he's had this dream since he was young, and he's had a family, and he's had, you know, a wonderful, wonderful family. And now that the Mansky Caper has come to fruition, now that it's going to be alive in the world, the art that you see, all of those wonderful characters and the cover and all of it, the art was actually done by Ken's son, Matt, who he mentioned earlier in his story. And Matt is a very, really, really talented designer of wonderful characters and things for games and other media. And he did all the work for Mansky Caper with the characters and did just an outstanding job. So what's wonderful to me is that Ken has having this dream come true, and he has his son who's super talented doing the art for it too, which is really,
that's awesome.
I find it kind of touching. It's kind of cool.
My eyes have leaked happy tears more than once about that.
Aww.
And this is, and I'll point this out. This is I don't know. Ken may come over here and slap me in the head for saying this, but when you get your hands on the Mansky Caper, when you get your copy of the game and you look at the room cards are filled with Easter eggs. So there are, every room card shows, whether it's the great room or the, you know, kitchen or whatever it might be. There's many little nods to different things. Some of them are nods to other Calliope games. You might see a Suro reference or a Roll For It reference. Mm-hmm. But there's also a lot of things that are personal to the Franklin family. So there's little things in there, like you'll see a baseball in a glove on the mantle in, I think it's the great room, is it not, Ken? One of the rooms.
On the fireplace in the great room.
And tell them what the significance of that baseball is.
At one point when Matt was about 15, he was in Little League in Columbus, Georgia. And because the coach had bailed, I served as the coach, which was laughable since I can't throw. But near the end of the season, Matt hit a 3-run homer that bounced off the center field wall and out. One of the proudest moments of my father's life. And he still has that ball. And Matt, with no direction from me, put that ball on the mantle in the great room.
Aww.
Yeah, it's little things like that. I mean, you know, it may be something that no gamer really ever understands the significance of a lot of those things, but it means a lot. And that's kind of the story of the Mansky Caper altogether, is it's the culmination of a long dream, and it's kind of a, you know, family working together. So I'm besides all that, I mean, the game is just hilarious, laugh out loud, great. But there's also like this sort of like wonderful little like just this whole foundation of love that's part of this, and it makes the game even more significant to me.
So it's a sweet, memorable nod to all the things in the Franklin home that we then turn around and blow up.
That's exactly right. but there's one other part I want to point out, because when I started at the beginning by saying I was overly blessed, I don't exaggerate. There is a cameo in the master bedroom of the face of my 2-year-old granddaughter. And Uncle Matt is very special to her. There's also in Al's office, there's a playbill for a professional singer, Madame Terry. Terry was my first wife and Matt's mother. She passed on from colon cancer at age 53 in 2010. And she encouraged both of us. And that was wonderful. So I'm really glad that he included that. Mm-hmm. But in 2013, I married my God gift, Debbie, who I never expected to meet. And she is the person who first came up with the idea of the favor tokens.
Mm-hmm.
So this is truly the whole evolution of this wonderful journey is a family affair. And I couldn't be happier.
I think that's awesome. I don't know what else to add to that. I think it's really, really great. And I don't know how we as the family gamers really could say nothing other than that's awesome.
Great. I can only hope that, you know, down the line that we can have something from our family that everyone
we'll
was
see.
Involved in
we'll
and ties everyone together.
Well, my philosophy, you know, Mansky Caper is the thing that's supposed to get my name out there, but my goal is to create games that make everybody who's participating feel like a winner, whether they win the game or not. As a matter of fact, I have a prototype, which will currently remain nameless, where the game, you cannot win the game unless you make sure that everybody reaches the goal at the same time.
Love it.
On your turn.
The,
you have to help everybody else win in order to win the game.
Are you sure you didn't listen
and
to our last episode?
And that's the kind of
episode?
Thing that gets me up in the morning. I did not.
All right. Well, I'm getting a little leaky-eyed over here.
We got to start talking in accents again and get everybody laughing. Hey.
Okay, just open the safe, all right? Just open the safe.
Kaboom.
So, Chris, you are the director of fun at Calliope Games.
I am, yes.
And so
description ever.
Right. I think that I would be remiss in my responsibilities as an interviewer if I did not say, as the director of fun, can you give us some games that you think are really, really fun? It doesn't necessarily have to be like, this is objectively the best game in the world and blah, 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 blah. But just for you, subjectively, like, what games are fun?
Oh, boy. Well, let's see. I'll qualify this by saying I will not include the most fun games in the world, which, of course, are Calliope Games, sold in stores everywhere. games like Rollforward and Suro. No. My family, so I have a 6-year-old son and I have a 3-year-old daughter, and we play games together all the time. My 3-year-old tries to play the games. She helps.
Yes.
But we play Rhino Hero Super Battle all the time.
Nice.
And we just love that thing. Just love it to bits.
Mm-hmm.
The other game that I can put in front of just about anybody and have a good time is King Domino. We love King Domino. And I've heard Queen Domino is good, but I've also heard it's tougher, which for my 6-year-old may not work out so well. But King Domino is just, I don't know, so easy and so fun. That's one of those where it's like, I wish we were publishing that.
Well, there's a reason it won the SDJ, right?
Exactly. And then the other game that we've been playing quite a bit lately that we really like, and this goes back to, I've always loved deck building games. And so we've played, you know, with my son, we played DC deck building game and we played these other things, but we played Quest for El Dorado by Reiner Knizia. Mm-hmm. And it's I don't know if you guys played that one before.
I've heard of it, but we haven't played it.
I just saw it come up in our feed for something somewhere recently.
We haven't played it, but I'm looking forward to playing it at some point.
It's a race game. It's a straight race game. It's got all these tiles that have these different terrains on them with, you know, green machete spaces, and there's camp places that have the gold on them. But it's a deck building game that's just a straight race. You're trying to get your explorer guy from one end of this long board to the other end, which is where El Dorado is. And so you do that based on it's a simple deck building process, but you get halfway through the game and you realize if you haven't been doing a good job of upgrading your deck a little bit and culling out the things that you don't need, mm-hmm. you can have the map tiles make you have to go then the long way around rather than being able to go straight through. Mm-hmm. And I've never seen a game that marries deck building and racing elements as well as this one does. In fact, I don't know if I've ever seen one that does it at all. Mm-hmm. And it's super easy to play, really easy to pick up. I've introduced it to people who don't play games at all, and they've enjoyed it. So as far as
that's
fun goes,
yeah.
Yeah, we have a great time, and when we're done, you're telling stories about things that happened in the game, which is what you want to, you know, you always want. And for me, that's one of the definitions of a fun game. That's is why I love the Mansky Caper so much, is that after the game is over with, you're always remembering back to those, you know, moments where that secret passage opened up and a whole nother room was there and you thought the game was over, but then, oh, now there's more riches and stuff. So any game that I play where afterwards I can tell a story or I can look at the board and kind of, you know, you want to take a moment and kind of see what you did. Mm-hmm. To me, yeah. That's just that's always fun. If you finish a game and you immediately like shovel it all into the box and put it away and like, all right, what's next? I'm not sure that that's really fun. you know, I guess it was something you did. It was an activity. But yeah, I love it whenever there's a sort of a narrative feel to it. And then you remember those moments later. Those are always fun to me.
Sure.
Awesome. I want to play Quattro Eldorado.
Yes, I recommend it. It's good stuff.
Cool, awesome. Ken, how about you? What do you have some games in the forefront of your mind that you think are like really really fun games other than the Mansky Caper, which we've already talked about?
Must limit 2-3 titles. Brain exploding. Wait. Oh, okay. All right. I have a wall of IKEA shelves full of games, and I do truly enjoy playing all of them. Otherwise, I give them away. But there are three that stand out. Debbie and I really love worker placement games, and Lords of Waterdeep scratches that itch.
Andrew is silently doing a victory dance over here.
I love that game.
It's his favorite game.
I will say that Scoundrels of Skullport is a mandatory expansion.
Oh yeah, Debbie and I will play it on our iPads, sitting in the evening, you know, when there's nothing good on TV. We'll immediately pull out our iPads and challenge each other to Lords of Waterdeep with all the expansions, and we're pretty 50-50 on victory percentages there. You know, she is not above hitting me with two or three mandatory quests in a row if I'm getting too far ahead.
That's my favorite strategy.
So that's. That's one of my favorites. I really have enjoyed Terraforming Mars because it has that feel, again, of working toward the same objective, even though only one of you is going to win.
Mm-hmm.
All of us seeing this communal project come to life and the different pieces of science you're exhibiting, it makes it easy to tell a tale as you're doing it. And the planet looks different at the end every time. So that's another big one that we enjoy quite a bit. But my third is, sorry, Chris, I broke the rule. My third is Roll For It. I like to describe Roll For It as Yahtzee with bayonets. because, you know, what you're trying to do is race each other to steal the goals before the other person. It is, in my opinion, the best take-along game in the world. It always goes in my suitcase. I just got back from a trip to Orlando with Debbie and my sister Sue from Oregon, an adult Disney vacation. And in the evenings, we played Roll For It. It's just so elegant, so much fun, and in your face without having to get out a rule book. So those are the three I would say are my top.
I don't care for that game.
Well,
I don't believe you.
Yeah.
Well, then sign this paper and the rights will be sent over. I'll be happy to take your royalty check from Roll For It, Mr. Leader.
We talked a lot on our last show about the kinds of games that we really like and have a lot of fun with and stuff. And I'll mention one of them on this show because it's a Calliope game.
Yes.
You guys sent us Ancestry.
Yes.
And I have to be honest with you, I did not anticipate that game getting its hooks into us as quickly as it did. You know, it's a little unassuming. You know, it kind of artfully, you know, oh, by the way, P.S., it's an Eric Lang game. you know, yeah. It's very different from a lot of his other stuff. And then We broke it out on New Year's with some friends and said, yeah, let's figure this game out.
I described it to Andrew because I had played it with you, Chris.
Yes, at PAX that's Club. Right.
And mm-hmm. and Andrew's like, sure, fine, we'll play it, whatever. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. You're going to really enjoy
so,
this game.
So we have this tradition with some friends. We get together for New Year's and we play games for like 6 hours. It's awesome.
And our kids run around and try not to kill each other.
Right. So I think we probably put the game on the table at maybe 11:30.
Something
we're
like that.
Yeah, let's try this game out, whatever, we'll see. The next thing we knew, it was 2 in the morning. So yeah, we are big fans of Ancestry. That definitely is one of those, man, can you believe that this thing happened or that thing happened? And, you know, kind of like you were saying, Chris. So I'll throw another Calliope game on there so Ken doesn't feel like he's the only one.
Thank you. Well, one of the things I want to point out with the Masky Keeper, Chris talked about the narrative and how it ends. One of the delightful accidents of how it's turned out is that the game is wildly variable, depending on which rooms, which mix of characters show up, and factors of luck. We have had games end where at the end, when the whole mansion's blown up, the winning score is 130 points. And we have had games where the winning score was 7.
Wow.
That is very variable.
Yeah. But it's also, the other thing about this is, and this goes back to what I was saying before, what you guys were talking about too is it's kind of like the journey is more fun than the destination, right? So
yeah.
If you can play a game and at the end of it, it's, you know, someone's going to be like, woohoo, I won. But if no one really cares about that, but everyone's smiling and like, that was just a really fun experience. That was a yes. fun time. I would exactly. play that again. I love that. I love that sensation. I love that feeling because there's a lot of games out there that are wonderful, but it's very much like, I am in competition. I am going to win. I am mm-hmm. going to make this happen. And someone gets ahead of you. And then at the end, you're like, oh, good game. But inside you're like, oh, I just hate you. You know, but when you play a game that, that everyone can just really feel like that was just such a fun experience. I don't care that I got trounced. I just had a really good time, and I would totally play that again the next time it hits the table. And that's a win to me. That's a game that's going to stand the test of time.
I Pretty completely exactly. agree yeah. with you. We're both nodding over here. I think that probably it is sadly come time for us to wrap up the show. But I do want to. I know. But I do want to just restate. So the Kickstarter for the Mansky Caper is going on right now. You can just do a quick Google search, Mansky, one word, Caper, and the Kickstarter will pop right up. It's $32 free shipping in the United States, and it ends next week on Saturday, February 10th. So
correct.
So hop on that.
Get on that, yo.
Yes, don't miss it. It's a great price. It's a great game, and I guarantee you'll have some fun when you put it on the table and play with people. They'll be taken by surprise.
So Chris, I'll start with you. So how can people find you on the social medias?
On the social interwebs, I can be found at on Twitter, @leader88, LEDER88. You can also follow Calliope Games, @Calliope Games, and see all of our latest stuff that way. And then we're on, let's see, what else are we? MySpace, Friendster. usually Leader88 on Twitter is a pretty good way to go. I'm also on Facebook, but sure. There's just lots of pictures of my kids.
Nice.
Funny, we can relate to that.
Yeah, tell me about it. How about you, Ken?
Well, on Twitter, I am DR for doctor, KENFP for family practice. I'm a retired family doc. 107. So DRKENFP 107. I'm also on Facebook as Ken Franklin, of course. And I do need to point out there is one other person who has not been interviewed today who is also on Twitter, and that is Al himself, at Mansky Caper.
Yeah, Al Mansky himself
does respond to tweets.
Yeah, if you're listening to this and you want to insult a mobster, you know, like the biggest boss in the land, just tweet to at Mansky Caper, and that's Al Mansky himself, and tell him how you're going to go rob his mansion, and he usually has some pointed words for people who threaten to take down his mansion.
That sounds like a blast. So you can find us on the internet in all sorts of places. We're on Twitter @FamilyGamersAA. We're on Facebook,
Family Gamers AA.
Instagram at Family Gamers AA as well. Please head over to your podcast subscription service of choice, Apple Podcast or Google Play or whatever those things happen to be. Leave us a review. Let us know what you think of the show and especially of these awesome interviews that we have with awesome people.
Yeah. If you want to...
Sorry to break that...
Yeah, I was just about to say, I don't know. I don't know if we can support that.
If you want to give us even more detail about what you think we're doing well or what you think we're doing poorly, we're running a survey right now, thefamilygamers.com/survey. And 5 people who answer the survey will be randomly selected to win games from our personal collection.
Yep. So we're bribing people for answers. And we're not ashamed to admit it.
Not ashamed at all.
So I think that's going to be it for us this week. We really hope that you enjoyed the show. We had a lot of fun recording it for sure. So until next week, play games with your kids.